My name is Bram Friedman, and I'm Vice President of Development and External Relations here at Concordia University. It's a pleasure to see so many friends with us here today, and I want to thank you all for attending this celebration of the Mordecai Richler Reading Room. I especially would like to extend a warm welcome to members of the Richler family who are joining us on this happy occasion. When I think of Mordecai Richler, I think of the great Canadian novel and the great Canadian novelist. The Apprenticeship of Dudley Kravitz, Joshua Then and Now, who hasn't been moved by these and other Richler literary treasures? I was particularly fascinated to learn from Jacob Richler's piece in Maclean's recently that Joshua Then and Now and Solomon Gursky Was Here were actually completed on the very desk that was donated and that forms part of the reading room. And if there was ever any doubt as to whether the materials are legitimate, apparently I was told that when Jacob was taking a look at the reading room, he saw an old lens cap that he was looking for and actually picked it up and said, "Hey, I've been looking for that." Today, Concordia marks a literary and literal connection to Mordecai Richler through his namesake reading room and personal effects. We are honored and grateful at Concordia to be the custodian of these items. It's now my pleasure to introduce Concordia's president. Please welcome Alan Shepard.
Merci, Bram, and bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. Merci d'être joint à nous aujourd'hui. J'aimerais d'abord remercier quelques personnes ici présentes qui ont rendu possible le management de la nouvelle salle de lecture Mordecai Richler. Of course, our first thanks go to the Richler family, who thought to donate Mr. Richler's belongings to what we could call his alma mater. My special thanks and warm welcome to Florence and to Jake here today. For the donation of the author's personal effects, we also would like to thank Fred Lowy, my predecessor as president of Concordia, who under whose watch this arrangement was first hatched and formulated. And Dr. Lowy championed the opening of the Mordecai Richler Reading Room to honor its namesake. Our thanks also go to Mrs. Beryl Goldman for supporting this new gathering place, to David and Ruth Steinberg, who have donated materials toward a creative writing scholarship and toward the room that we're going to be celebrating this afternoon, to the Felicia and Arnold Aaron Foundation, and to Alvin Siegel and David Peranovich of Peerless Clothing, who, and you wonder, what's the connection to Peerless Clothing? They stored these materials for us for more than a year, and were friends of the Richler family. And to Manuela Goya, Secretary General of the Montreal Metropole Culturelle, for being here today to help us celebrate yet another example of Concordia's contribution to the culture of Montreal. And I'm told in an aside that Manuela wrote part of a thesis on this desk at some point, so renting the house. So there's quite a very personal connection. So Mordecai Richler attended one of Concordia's founding institutions, Sir George Williams, between 1949 and 1951. He then ventured to Paris and then to London to broaden his horizons. And while in Europe, he launched a successful career writing journalism, criticism, and fiction while still in his 20s. Il revient définitivement à Montréal deux décennies plus tard et se retrouve parmi les rares écrivains canadiens à jouir d'une renommée internationale. C'était une période féconde pour la littérature anglophone montréalaise. Much of the activity was, in fact, centered at Sir George Williams. Some of the names will be familiar to you. Wynne Francis, Irving Layton, George Bowering, and Margaret Atwood were all teachers or writers in residence here at the Sir George campus in the day. This pedigree, in which Mr. Richler plays a key role, along with the founding of our creative writing program here at Concordia, have made Concordia one of the springboards for a number of nationally and internationally recognized writers. The list would include people such as Stuart MacLean, Annie Proulx, Rawi Haj, Nino Ricci, one of my personal favorites, Jonathan Goldstein, and the poet Chris Banks. On Quebec's and Canada's most contentious issues, its linguistic and ethno-religious diversions and divisions, Mordecai Richler never shied away from speaking his mind. And on the same page as Mordecai, his alma mater championed making education available to members of many Montreal minority groups in the decades following the Second World War. Today, multicultural Concordia, diverse Concordia, which is a creative, urban, bold, and engaged university, just like Mordecai himself was creative, urban, bold, and engaged, is the perfect institution to memorialize his contributions to Canadian letters and to understand how those will affect the future. As a magnet for scholars interested in Richler's personal library, the Richler Reading Room will help further scholarship on Mr. Richler's own body of work. It will also serve for what young writers hope is an auspicious setting for their thesis defense or for their own creative ideas. And it will play host to our wonderful series called The Writer's Read. Cette année, la série s'annonce toujours aussi remarquable. On y présentera notamment des séances de lecture de Clark Blaze, who just received an honorary doctorate from Concordia about a week ago, Emma Donoghue, wonderful novelist, Tanya Tagak, Kristen Buck, Jacques Blanc, Carolyn Forche, and Francine Prose, just to name some. One of my goals for Concordia is to have the means not only to retain the great writing talent we have here already, here at Concordia and here in Montreal, but also to recruit others to build further on our stellar reputation. I'm committed to raising resources that will help create a chair for visiting writers, much like the writer-in-residence role that Mordecai Richler himself occupied here 45 years ago. We have a great tradition at Concordia, and we're so pleased to be able to honor Mr. Richler as a key part of it. And with your help, we can build on that tradition in the future. Merci et bonne journée.
Thank you, Alan. It's now my pleasure to introduce Jacob Richler. Jacob is a newspaper and magazine journalist. He was also the inspiration for his father's Jacob Tutu trilogy of children's books. And please welcome Jacob Richler.
Thank you. It's a great honor to be here, and so far as I know, a unique honor too, for according to my research, no university has ever before posthumously honored one of its dropouts with his own eponymous library and reading room. Nor has a university asked the honoree's son, another dropout from the same institution, to give a speech at its inauguration. The collection looks splendid. Strangely, being there down the corridor just now gave me a feeling I've never had in a school before. It reminds me of home. It was entirely my mother's idea to do this. Over there. Just to see whether or not, after selling our family cottage on Lake Meframagog, we could preserve in perpetuity some part of my father's workspace there, which was his favorite. So what you see here in the end is my father's office with my mother's touch. No heaps of unsorted papers and unanswered mail or dust-covered, neglected exercise machines. Just the best of it. Favorite books, treasured mementos and photographs, and precious research materials. And of course, the desk on which he wrote Joshua Then and Now, Solomon Gursky Was Here, Barney's Version, and some very important children's books. It also includes many volumes from our main floor library. And while the desk evokes memories of his perpetually clacking typewriter, if truth be told, none of us ever spent any time in his office. We weren't allowed. So for me, it's really the library that brings back happy memories of my father. In particular, it makes me think of the relish and pleasure with which he would comb the stacks when one of us told him that we had just finished the novel we were reading and needed a suggestion for what to read next. "Have you read The Red and the Black?" he asked all of us in turn, excited for us, about to read Stendhal for the first time, or Waugh, or Amos, and so on. No one would call my father a bookworm, but he did live in large part for and in his books, these books that are now down the corridor. When I was thinking about that the other day while writing this, I dug up something that I thought nicely illustrated just how. So what follows are a series of notes my father wrote me on the occasion of my 17th birthday, for which he devised a treasure hunt. No chocolates though, just books. The first clue went like so. August 2nd, 1985. Go to library. Find a writer born in Prague whose last name begins with a K. See if you can find anything interesting in one of his novels. Inside the trial, I found a second note. It read, I am the incomparable Franz, and everything I ever wrote is interesting. Read me. P.S. You might also like to try a writer born in Dublin, whose initials are J.J. Inside Dubliners, I found this. Hi, Jake. Glad to see you open one of my books. About time. But before reading me, why not try London's great Dr. Sam? Everything can be found in Dr. Sam. And finally, in a journey to the Western Isles of Scotland, I found the prize. The note began tenderly, I thought you'd never get here. Anyway, now that we're all here, there are a few people whom my mother, Florence, asked me to thank for easing the journey to the Mordecai Richler reading room. First, she singled out her good friend, Dennis Brocht, for making the introductions that got the process started. Dennis is here somewhere. Second, she wanted to express her gratitude to Alvin Siegel for providing free storage for more books than he ever imagined were about to come his way. And of the many people at Concordia who made the project possible, she singled out Dr. Fred Lowy and his successor, Dr. Shepherd, who's here today, and Jason Camelot, who brought order to the books and papers that never had any before. And lastly, my father's estate lawyer, Michael Levine, who moved things along. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jacob. It's now my pleasure to introduce Rick Miller. Rick is artistic director of Weird Productions, Inc. He's an award-winning actor, comedian, and playwright. Please welcome Rick Miller, who will read from Jacob Tutu.
Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. C'est toujours un gros plaisir de venir ici à Montréal, ma ville natale, so my hometown. And it's a great pleasure, of course, to be reading from the book that was inspired. You look nothing, of course, like the illustration, Jacob, wherever you are. But I was selected and honored to be the first to read from these words and to put them in a way to immortalize them onto audiobooks, which will be released at some point. But in great company, Colm Feore, Martha Burns, Graham Abbey, a lot of Canada's great actors have been selected to read from these books. And so I will give you a little taste. The book, of course, is called Jacob Tutu Meets the Hooded Fang, and I will read a short little chapter 6 where Jacob Tutu meets the Hooded Fang. All right, so here we go. Chapter 6. Finally, they reached the gates of the children's prison, where an enormous flashing sign proclaimed, "Tremble, kids! Shiver! Shudder! You're approaching the lair of the Hooded Fang." Underneath, neon blood dripped into a seething, steaming cauldron, and a perpetual laughing machine cackled, "Ho, ho, ho!" Once inside the prison, Master Fish and Mistress Fowl thrust Jacob Tutu into the warden's lair. The warden was known as the Hooded Fang. Jacob Tutu, looking very pale, discovered him sprawled on the floor, smelly and unshaven, sharpening his fangs by gnawing on a beef bone, a marrow bone. The Hooded Fang seized Jacob Tutu's charge sheet, muttering to himself as he clutched it between his paws. Said the Hooded Fang. "Insulting behavior to a big person, eh? We'll soon cure that, we will. What led you into such serious trouble?"
2 pounds of firm red tomatoes, said Jacob Tutu, sighing. 2 pounds of firm red tomatoes.
Why are you saying things 2 times? Take me for an idiot, do you?
No, sir. No, sir.
Remove this desperado to the lowest, dampest dungeon, said the Hooded Fang, and put him on a diet of stale bread and water. My shaving water!
Can I have 2 slices, please? Asked Jacob Tutu. Can I have 2 slices?
You see, said the Hooded Fang, strutting, he's only been here 2 minutes, and he's begging for mercy. Am I tough? Oh boy, I'm the toughest.
The Hooded Fang growled at Jacob Tutu. Arr! He bared his fangs.
Shall I tell you why I hate kids more than anything in this world?
Please do, said Jacob Tutu. Please do. The Hooded Fang dismissed Master Fish and Mistress Fowl and locked the door to his lair.
Once, he began, I was a star with my own dressing room. The Hooded Fang, most hated and vile villain in all of wrestling. Why, as I made my way from my dressing room into the arena, the boos were sufficient to raise the roof beams. And the minute I stepped into the ring, the fans pelted me with stinking fish, rotten eggs, and overripe tomatoes. Oh, it was lovely. Then, said the Hooded Fang, his eyes suddenly charged with menace, it happened. One dreadful evening in Doncaster, just as I slipped between the ropes, waiting for the eggs and fish to fly, a child laughed. A child standing on a chair in the front row pointed at me, laughed out loud, and said, "He's not terrible, Daddy. He's funny." Funny! Desperately, I rolled my eyes, I bared my fangs, I made menacing faces, but nobody threw anything. Not one little rotten egg. The child wouldn't stop laughing, and before you knew it, the whole arena was convulsed, laughing. The more I growled, the louder they laughed. When my opponent entered the ring, I immediately poked my thumb into his eye, but instead of hitting back, he just fell against the ropes, roaring with laughter.
The Hooded Fang blew his nose. His head hung heavy.
These things get around, you know. It was in the newspapers, and soon wherever I went, all I had to do was crawl through the ropes, and the fans were laughing so hard, tears came to their eyes. All because a child laughed. A funny villain is no good, don't you see? No good at all.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Hooded Fang, said Jacob Tutu. I'm sorry.
Are you?
Asked the Hooded Fang, surprised.
Why?
Because you seem to be such a nice man.
What? Roared the Hooded Fang. How dare you? I'm not nice. I'm horrible, disgusting, mean, vicious, evil, and vile. Oh, now get out of my sight before I sink my fangs into you. Oh, how I hate kids.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Quite a performance. I think the... Not all of you could see, but actually the best part of the performance was actually watching Jacob's face and his mother's face as you were reading that. It's now my pleasure to introduce Amanda Ruffini. Amanda is a recent graduate of Concordia's Department of English. Please welcome Amanda Ruffini.
Hi. Okay, well, that was fantastic, wherever. Good afternoon. This past summer, I was invited to help archive Mordecai Richler's very extensive library. The idea of unpacking and exploring a writer's library was very enticing for me. I knew it would give me insight into the storytelling process. It proved to be revelatory in terms of the immense diversity of material that I discovered. So as a young academic, I was quite taken by the amount of research involved in the production of a single fictional work. Richler's Magog Library contains many diverse texts, so it's fascinating to imagine that many went into the writing of his novel, Solomon Gursky Was Here. There is an almost literary serendipity, for just as the novel Solomon Gursky Was Here ties together many narrative strands, so too does this library, ultimately telling the story of Richler's creative journey. On behalf of Concordia's Department of English and its students, I want to thank the Richler family for their very generous donation. This library will benefit the university as an invaluable reference area for Mordecai Richler scholars, and it will also be a creative space for writers, lectures, readings, and literary exchanges. So once again, thank you very much.
I want to thank you all again for joining us today. We all play a role in advancing Concordia and in supporting our over 46,000 students who study and learn here at Concordia. Merci encore de votre présence parmi nous aujourd'hui.